Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. I'm your host, Laura Alexander Wittig, CEO and founder of Brightly, the number one destination for conscious consumers around the world. At Good Together, we value the planet over perfection and believe that you can make positive things happen for the planet every day by being a conscious consumer and an informed citizen. Listen in as I chat with various experts about living and consuming responsibly. Good Together listeners, I am so excited to welcome Sarah Camposarcone to our podcast today. We were just blown away by the talent that we noticed from Sarah on TikTok, especially when we talk about sustainable maximalism. So welcome, Sarah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I mean, so first of all, listeners, if you haven't checked out Sarah's TikTok, you have to. We will include links to it in the show notes. But, you know, for me, it was just such a fun explosion of color and passion for just expression through fashion. And one thing that is so cool about what you're doing, Sarah, is, you know, we oftentimes when people think about sustainable fashion, they think of a very muted aesthetic and something that maybe is, I mean, quite frankly, a little bit boring. So, you know, just give us a little bit of an intro about you and kind of tell us how you started your brand now, basically, and how you got interested in the fast fashion industry.
Yeah. So I basically have always loved fashion. I grew up just watching runway shows, documentaries, reading a lot of fashion books and all of that. So it's kind of been my favorite creative outlet for myself. I think I like to kind of just express who I am on the inside through my clothing and just how I decide to pair things together. About a year ago, I started posting on TikTok my outfits, just little like outfit of the day video. And it kind of took off from there. I think a lot of people, especially during the pandemic, were kind of just, you know, all on their phones on TikTok. And I think my videos really resonated with people just kind of feeling like a lot of joy in getting dressed. And I think
yes,
we've kind of lost that like feeling of even getting dressed in general into like regular clothes out of our pajamas every day. So it kind of stuck from there. I kind of just started growing my TikTok through just posting a lot of different outfit videos, different ways to style things, a lot of like thrifting things, because I've loved thrifting for so long. I think I first started thrifting at the beginning of high school. So shopping secondhand has always been something I always incorporate in my videos. Like, I'd say probably about 95% of my closet is secondhand.
That's awesome. That's that's an amazing number.
Yeah. And so I always do encourage that too on my channels and my social media platforms. Different. I always like to introduce my followers to different small designers that are, you know, work with like ethically made pieces, a lot of like upcycling designers and stuff like that. So basically, yeah, in any way that I can push sustainability in fashion, I try to, because I know it's something that is, you know, definitely not the best in the world right now. So yeah.
Yeah. And so, Sarah, one of the things that I found so interesting. So first of all, listeners, Sarah has like over 6 million likes on TikTok and almost 400,000 followers. So she's being modest, but like has an audience that is so excited to see, you know, really what you're up to in terms of your outfits. And so one thing that I thought was kind of interesting was, you know, you mentioned thrifting and, you know, and secondhand shopping. And so for me, like, I was curious to know, like, how do you go about finding some of these most unique pieces? Like, I kind of feel like, let's pretend you wanted to do your particular style recipe with new off the rack items. It might be kind of hard, right? Like, you put a lot of vintage things together, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, I definitely put a lot of like thought into my outfits in terms of like the little details I add, and I feel like that kind of is why I also kind of call my fashion a little bit of, you know, it's very chaotic, but it's what makes it maximalism to me. I love adding like accessories. I love adding even just like different pieces that can be like that you wouldn't wear a certain way. I like just wearing them different ways too. Sometimes it just adds like an interest to the outfit and people are like, oh, okay, I guess I could wear a skirt as a top. Like, that's different.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. I'm definitely drawn to like color. I love prints. I love mixing prints. I love bold, like just clothes in general, anything that's very out there, like different silhouettes, different textures. I think like a mixture of all those things is what creates a maximalist outfit. Just, it's very much like a lot, there's a lot going on, but
but it's so cool. I mean, there's a lot going on, but it's just really unique. And I think, obviously that kind of style is not going to, I mean, it's not going to work. I mean, actually, I wouldn't say it won't work for everybody, because I think it can work for everybody. It's whether or not people are like comfortable with that. But I feel like, you know, just like being an inspiration to people through that visual identity is so interesting. And so one of the things that we kind of wanted to talk about as well, because this is a podcast focused on, you know, realistic, sustainable steps people can take every day. I mean, you know, listeners, you probably heard us talk about fast fashion and really the fashion industry's negative impact on the environment. And so, you know, we've shared a variety of statistics with you, but the one that for me really resonates is, you know, around 85% of all textiles end up in landfills every year, right? So where this is everything from clothing to sheets and bedding, et cetera, but like, that's a lot, right? It's insane.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just having that kind of footprint when we think about clothing is just, you know, is massive. And so when we think about waste, you can picture all of those textiles going to landfills. And then you can also think about just like the carbon emissions associated with the production of fashion. So Sarah, I wonder if we can talk a little bit about this too.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, 85% of textiles, end up in landfills every day, or every year, sorry. But I find, so something that's interesting to me is I recently have I actually thrifted at a rag house is what it's called.
Okay. Tell us more about this.
Yeah. And so I feel like a lot of people don't know about these things because not everyone, it's not just like accessible to anyone to thrift at. I was actually thrifting there because one of my friends owns a vintage store and that's where he thrifts. So I went with him one time and I was shocked by the amount of clothing, like just packed into like these bales. Yeah, and it's just insane. And it's what, I guess, instead of going to like the thrift store where you drop off and donate your clothes, not everything gets put out in a thrift store like that.
Yeah.
Some of it gets basically sent here to these rag houses, and essentially it just gets shipped out of the country. So there's not like a bunch of people getting to like go through it and take the clothes that they want every day. It's massive. It's like a warehouse. And so that was kind of like a moment where I was like, wow, this is actually insane, because this is just one facility and they have these, you know, in every city. And it's so interesting too. I always think like when I'm, you know, thrifting and I find something that is really, really unique to me, I always like to just remember like there could be like a whole story behind it. And that's kind of like something that I focus on too when I'm thrifting, is like some people, you know, give things away and it meant like the world to them. And then you get to kind of give it like a second life, which is awesome. But basically a lot of like the textiles and things that are used that get sent out are a lot of like cotton materials, a lot of like synthetic fabrics. Mm-hmm. Polyester is actually one that's used even more than cotton now.
Yep.
And a lot of fast fashion brands use those fabrics, which is kind of how it leads into like connecting fast fashion with being a harmful part of the fashion industry.
Yeah. I mean, never mind that I feel like polyester itself is just, it's so uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
When you're wearing yeah. it. It's like scratchy and it just, it doesn't feel good. I feel like oftentimes going with the cotton or tinsel or bamboo, like all yeah. of that just even just feels better.
And that's another thing too, is I always try to look at, I mean, if you can't already tell just by touching the fabric, what, things that I find at the thrift stores are made up of. So like, you know, like more sustainable fabrics like silk, they make organic cottons, linen,
yeah.
Anything like that. I try and stick towards, so even when I'm thrifting, I always keep in mind not to like over consume as a thrifter as well. And also to just pay attention to things like that too. Like again, material, even like tags. Sometimes I don't enjoy like shopping secondhand if I'm still purchasing fast fashion as
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
So that's something I pay attention to as well when I'm personally shopping. But yeah, there are a lot of things in the fashion industry, like even just the pollution of the water through like dyeing processes.
Yeah.
You know, even like tanning leather, anything like that. Is obviously very negative.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about the entire ecosystem can be, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes overwhelming, right? Like yeah. it's one of those things where, you know, when we just talked about the waste component, now we're talking about materials, and then we're talking yeah. about like how this material is even, prepped. And so
yeah.
I think the bottom line for most people is, you know, a lot of us can't help but consume fast fashion every once right. in a while. It doesn't make you a terrible person. But one thing that I think is really important for everybody to understand is, you know, investing in clothing that you're going to wear for long periods of yeah. time, or you have like a plan for it, right? So
yeah.
maybe you're going to, you know, participate in like a clothing swap with people in your area, and you're interested in doing like just having
yeah.
a plan for it, because yeah. otherwise we end up with just so much waste. You know, and we could talk about like returns and making sure
yeah.
things fit appropriately. There's so many ways to go into it. But one thing that I wanted to kind of dive into even a little bit more was just the concept of a rag house too. Cause you're right. Like I had never really thought about or heard about a rag house until you started talking about it. And so, you know, I guess for you, when you went into that rag house, you just saw the impact, right? Just everything
yeah.
stacked up.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, I wish I could show a photo. I'm sure if you Googled a photo, you'd be able to kind of see.
Yeah. We'll try and find one for the show notes.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's insane. And I mean, even like I said, like coming from me, who I enjoy thrifting, I love going through clothes and stuff like that. It's just, there are so many clothes, like you could clothe like multiple countries with the amount of clothing that they have in there. So it's just, it's yeah, an obscene amount.
Well, yeah. And I also think there's a misconception where people feel like, okay, I'm donating my clothes. Either number one, they're going to go to Goodwill and get sold again, which is like very, very unlikely.
Yes.
And number two, they're like, well, they're going to go to somebody who needs them, whether that is in this country or in another country. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, but you know, the whole supply chain for sending unwanted clothing to other countries around the world is ridiculous. I mean, it's literally, they load up these massive shipping containers and you know, ship them across the world. And then there are also, you know, countries that have received so many offhand rags and things like that, that they've literally said like, no, like we can't accept any more of this, right? Yeah. So you can't just keep like sending us basically your, you know, unwanted garments and pretending like there's a happy path for them, right? It's just such a weird industry.
Yes. And I do like on my, even through my social media channels, I do kind of like put an emphasis on working with what you have in your closet. And even if that's just kind of like thinking of a new way to wear something, or even like home decor, if you were to break, you know, a mug and instead of having a handle on it, now you can use it as a planter.
Yeah.
Just thinking of different like innovative ways to work with what you already have is definitely a way to keep like sustainability in mind as well.
Yeah, I actually was going to ask you for some of your tips. So I love that one, right? Which is like repurposing around the house, utilizing, I mean, I've done this before where I needed to create some like cloths to use around the house, like for cleaning. And rather than just going out and buying new microfiber cloths or whatever, I literally found an old fleece blanket that didn't work very well for us anymore. Yeah. And I cut it up into squares and they work super well for dusting.
Yeah.
So just like repurposing things, it might seem even a little bit weird. Like maybe you're not a DIY crafty kind of person, but you can, I mean, anybody can get out a pair of scissors and cut up some fabric, but just being you know, creative with repurposing. So I love that tip. What are some other tips you like to share with your audience?
So other tips that I personally like to kind of follow, and I do when it comes to like even just thinking about like donating clothes and stuff like that, before bringing any of my clothes to like again like a Goodwill or a Value Village around here, I do like to kind of let my I'll let my friends kind of go through my stuff. So it kind of, you know, brings me to, I do a lot of like clothing swaps and stuff like that with friends. There are even like Facebook groups that you can do like clothing swaps with and stuff like that. So sometimes if, you know, if there's something that you think you're not going to wear anymore, that gives a chance, you know, to be given to someone who is going to wear it, and you know, it's kind of, it's actually going to someone and it's going to use,
yeah,
to possibly not even ending up in a thrift store. So I've been doing that a lot. There's also, a lot of like newer, I haven't gone into them too much, but there's a lot of new like ways to rent clothing, which is really interesting. And I think it's awesome. I live just outside of Toronto, but there's a few downtown Toronto stores that actually have like an in like a brick and mortar store where you can actually go in, like try things on, and you can just rent them for events. And I think that that's great because people will shop for literally every like special event that they have, and then they wear it once and then never again. So it usually just,
I know, it's so wasteful. I mean, like, especially in today's day and age where everything is documented, people be like, oh, well,
exactly. It's like, oh, I took a photo in it, so now I can't wear it again. So, that's a really great way. And basically other than that, I mainly, if I'm shopping secondhand, I do use a lot of like online secondhand stores or even just like apps like Depop or Poshmark. I find sometimes being like in, being in a thrift store can be like overwhelming and can kind of like, you're like, oh, maybe I need this, maybe I need this. And it kind of leads you to buying more than you probably need. So sometimes, just using like online platforms like that kind of keeps me in check a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. And like, it kind of brings me, give me 1 second. I'm having some issues with my headphones. Okay. I think they're fine now. Okay, I'll start over again. So that kind of brings me to my next question, which is, you know, thinking about your particular brand of sustainable fashion that you like to call sustainable maximalism. So like, yeah, tell us a little bit more about like how you define that and really like how you bring in those practices that you just shared into your outfits.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that the biggest like misconception about maximalism is people always kind of associate it with an excess of something. Yes. And I think that kind of leads into like the whole idea of like overconsumption and just having too many things, too many clothes, whatever that may be. But maximalism is actually just like an aesthetic of excess. And it really just explores like the creativity that one can come up with. I feel like it lets me kind of show who I am and how I would pair things together in a unique way that not a lot of people would think of. Again, maximalism too doesn't always need to mean like a rainbow, like colorful, like wild outfit. It can totally be like muted colors if that's what you're into, but there is still a lot going on, like texture wise, like silhouette wise, stuff like that. So I think that that's kind of like how I would define it. But basically I love just thinking of different ways, different like combinations and configurations of how to wear my clothes. Like I said, I think earlier, like I wear a lot of like tutus and I've been wearing them as like tops instead of as a
I love it.
Essentially. And I love the way it looks. And it's so interesting to see people like now, you know, that watch like a video where I've done that kind of think like, oh, you know, this tutu in my closet that I haven't worn in years, now I can wear it a whole different way. And it's kind of like, you know, if Sarah wears it that way, then I guess I can wear it that way too. And I feel like, you know, without sounding like overconfident in my videos, I do like that it gives people like that kind of inspiration that it does. And I basically kind of just keep it like real on my channel too. I'm very much like, I do get the negative comments here and there too, saying like, you know, what are you wearing? This looks insane. And I think a lot of people think as well in fashion, you know, something when thrifting too, they're like, oh, this has to match with this and this has to go with this and this color doesn't go with this. And it's just a lot of like rules and things that we were like taught, I guess, you know. I remember watching, like, I always bring this up because it's so like, I feel like it was such a toxic show, but there was a show, What Not to Wear.
Yes. Yeah.
And I always think about how I used to watch that like religiously, like growing up and thinking like, this is the way that, you know, someone should look. And like the way they looked before, like wasn't good. And like, they shouldn't be wearing this and they should be wearing this. And I'm always like, you know, if you like it, if it makes you happy when you put it on, then wear it. Like, it's truly not so complicated. And I don't think that there should be any rules in anything like that. I think it's just like, you know, truly wear what makes you happy, as like cliche as that sounds. And being sustainable with your closet and just in general, I always tell people too, like, it takes time and it takes like a lot of care with your clothes. I think a lot of people, a lot of my followers think like, oh, I need a whole new wardrobe to figure out my personal style and all of that. And it's truly just like taking the time to figure out like what sparks joy in you. And it doesn't mean that you have to like start all over with a whole new wardrobe. It just means kind of sometimes working with what you have and figuring out like what fits your personal style now and what doesn't serve its purpose with you anymore. So
I love that. I mean, you know, it's very personalized, like you're saying. It's something where people, you know, different people are going to have different styles. They're going to have different like things they want to accomplish. But overall, I think it's a really interesting way to think about getting dressed, right? Like you really hit the nail on the head where you talked about how none of us are really getting dressed for a long time during the pandemic. Like, I literally remember as stuff started to open back up, I was like, I had to go to a business meeting. I was like, oh my God, like, what am I going to wear? Like, yeah. I have no idea. I was like looking in this closet full of stuff. I also recently had a baby about 8 months ago. So just like trying to go through and see like what still fits. And like, we all have things that go on in our lives that I think can influence different purchasing patterns. And so, you know, obviously sometimes you can't keep something forever because of size and changing, and that's totally okay. But trying to think through, you know, maybe if we're talking about like a jacket or an accessory that can kind of be layered, like thinking about investing in those pieces. And I'm actually curious to hear about your thoughts on that as well. Like, how do you view investment pieces that are new compared to like maybe a thrifted alternative?
Yeah, I am someone too. I love mixing like high end and low end. So I do shop secondhand a lot, but sometimes even just my secondhand purchases are higher end brands. And even secondhand, you're still paying sometimes a decent amount. And so for me, like to justify something like that, I really do take a lot of time to think it through. I'm not exactly like an impulse like buyer. So I'll definitely like, if I see something that I think is going to be a staple in my wardrobe, and I know I'm like someone who changes outfits every day, like my outfits are always different, I still do have certain pieces in my wardrobe, especially my higher end pieces that I gravitate towards, like whether it's a jacket that I can layer on top of basically any outfit, or I'm very much into like accessories when it comes to higher end. So like my purses and my shoes are like my main things that I'll splurge on a little bit. That's just me personally. But for me, I take like a lot of like pride in the pieces that I have. They bring me literally so much joy. And I know like sometimes it sounds a little silly talking about.
It's one of your passions.
Yeah. And that's truly like how people will always kind of ask too, like how is it so easy to get dressed every day for you? Like, how do you just put this together? And it's just like, when you have like a wardrobe or you just have pieces that you truly like care about and love, it's hard to like put together an outfit that you don't like, because you're just wearing a bunch of things that have a story to them. I know, like, you know, all of my purchases, like, especially when it comes to my bags and shoes, I know like where I got them. I know when I got them. I know like the story behind all of them. And if there's, you know, anything like around them like that. So I definitely take into consideration a lot of things, like how often I think I'd wear something. Kind of even for me, it's not as much of a thought when it comes to like, oh, does this color match with anything? Because I'm pretty simple with like, with the color. It doesn't really have to, like I said, I don't even think there's like a matching system at all. So it's just more like if I love it. I also like, again, like I'm someone who watches like a lot of like runway shows and even current runway shows. And there's a lot of designers I admire. So I kind of take that into consideration too, when I'm buying something that's a little bit more expensive or like a designer brand. I just like to stick with like what I really love, because I know I'll love it. So,
yeah, I mean, and honestly, we all, I think, have those pieces in our closet that we gravitate to. It's really interesting to hear about like how you kind of strategize what you choose to, splurge on compared to, you know, thrift or do other things. Because again, like we're telling you listeners, like it doesn't, being sustainable in your fashion choices doesn't mean you have to not buy anything ever. And it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, stress out. Like there's absolutely ways to have fun with it. There's ways to have fun with like, you know, swapping clothing with friends, like Sarah just mentioned. Like there's all sorts of like really like fun tips and tricks. And honestly, like, I know I keep saying this, but you have to check out Sarah's TikTok. Like, it's just so fun. And it just, I think it'll really inspire you, especially if you're like me, who really used to think of sustainable fashion as just like very monochrome kind of blah, you know, and there's something the matter with that to some extent, but I think we all kind of could use a little bit more color and fun in our life, right?
Yeah, no, truly. I think that's kind of what it like comes down to. I think it's like, I feel like every day when I'm filming, I'm just like playing dress up in my closet and having fun. Like I'm like 5 years old again.
I love that. No, it's so fun. And honestly, like if you're in a rut too, like I totally have gone through recently, like getting dressed ruts, like I was talking about earlier, like being able to find inspiration wherever that comes, it can really help too. So Sarah, this has been such a fascinating conversation. And so typically what we like to do on this podcast is ending each episode by asking our guests the same question, because it's so fascinating to hear like how everybody responds to this. But so from your point of view, you know, as an influential creator on TikTok and, you know, as somebody who's really involved in the fashion space as a stylist, like, what is exciting you the most about what you're seeing going on in the ethical and sustainable movement happening?
I think that although, you know, the fashion industry does kind of impact in a negative way right now, I think that there is a lot of like, kind of like a lot of brands and designers are taking like a step towards being more sustainable, which, you know, although it's not necessarily like we're making a huge change right now, it still is a step towards like in the right direction, and a step towards that change. So even I think I was reading an article just a few days ago saying that there's a lot of brands, fast fashion brands like H&M, I think Zara, a lot of them are trying to use more environmentally friendly fabrics in their clothing. And so I think that's great. I've also a lot of higher end brands have been kind of starting to do a lot of like digital clothing, which is interesting. And I'm kind of curious to see if that will have any
interesting.
Any impact on sustainability and just in the, you know, the environment with fashion in general. I'm interested to see kind of if that takes off. Like a lot of high-end brands are starting to kind of do that. So it'll be interesting to see that too, but I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, that to me is like what a very interesting side effect of, yes, the NFT and sort of like digital goods movement. You know, it's, there's so many, I think, like pie in the sky applications for it. But for me, you're right. Like, I think there's also some really interesting realistic ones. And I also am really interested to see how we can take the digital world and use it to kind of satiate our need for fashion all of the time. Sarah, this has been so fascinating. I mean, do you want to tell our listeners where they can find you on social, like your handles and all of that?
Yeah, sure. On TikTok, my name is Sarah Camps with a Z. And then my Instagram handle is my whole name, Sarah Campos Arconi.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. To get show notes and more, head to brightly.eco/podcast. And as a special thank you to our listeners, use code GOODTOGETHER to get 10% off all products in Brightly's brand new shop full of planet positive swaps for your home. Finally, don't forget to join in on the conversation with us on social, where I know you can find us at brightly.eco. Don't forget, we're all on this journey together. So have fun putting the planet first and stay curious.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.